Hi everyone, my name is Yarrow and you're listening to the Embodied Business Podcast. I want to say good morning because that's when I'm recording. It's a Monday, the sun is shining, I just had a shower. I'm wearing shorts, which makes me really happy. That's not a very common occurrence in Scotland in May, let me tell you, but it's nice to have my legs out. Today I want to talk to you about branding, creating a visual language for your work. And I'm going to share five really, really quite simple, but very creative and fun steps that you can take to reimagine or come up with your first brand for your business. Before I dive in, I want to make an announcement. I'm offering something called Summer Vibes this season. From the end of June to the end of August, I'll be offering 10 co-working sessions on a Tuesday. 2 hours each week. The format for the sessions is really sweet and simple. It's tried and tested. I've done it like that for many years. I really love it. We'll meet on Zoom and then everyone shares what they're going to work on that day. And then we quietly work together. But I'll be on Messenger for any small questions that come up. So that way you know you have the accountability, you're being witnessed and what you're trying to do in that time. Whether you're going to work on a course or updating systems in your business or just getting on top of your invoices or your bookkeeping or your inbox, it really doesn't matter, but you'll be in good company and you'll know that you get it done. And you'll also know that because I'm in the Zoom Messenger, if anything comes up, you'll have support. You can ask for feedback on a draft. You can ask for soft recommendations. You can ask for ideas, you know, whatever you need. It will be a sweet group of people and you won't be alone. So the cost is $70. If you're in the livelihood community already, that is included. So don't worry about signing up. That's just part of the package. But if you want to join us for those 10 sessions over the summer, I'll link to it in the show notes. I think because summer can be such a strange time in business because people are away and you know, things are feeling a little bit different. I think it might be really nice to have that as a container to know every Tuesday you'll be in good company. So I hope you can join us. All right, so diving into branding tips. I want to start by thinking about what branding even is, because I think before, I mean, this is a long time ago, right? But like I would say 10 years ago, if you'd asked me what really is branding, I couldn't really have given you an answer. I would have had a vague sense of like, well, it has something to do with colors and marketing, and it's probably pretty corporate. I'm not sure, but I wouldn't have made the connection necessarily with what branding can mean and look like and do for a small business like mine. But now as a web designer, I really understand how powerful and important branding can be. So really, if I break it down from a technical point of view, it is the coming together of colors, fonts, images, logos, graphics, things like that. Everything that's visual, but potentially also more subtle than visual. I will talk about that in a moment. That is coming together to let people experience your work. It's a visual language that's communicating basically beyond words. So you have maybe some, you know, maybe you have your Instagram bio or the heading on your website, and that's the text, the message, but there's also the visual language that illustrates that. And it's just as important because if you think of the way you feel when you land on your website or on someone else's website. Let's say you're going to, I don't know, the website of your local dentist. You'd probably imagine or expect to see some turquoise, blue, gray, white. Those are kind of typical dentist colors. And they communicate something to you that along the lines of, you know, this is a really professional hygienic space. We'll take care of your teeth. You can trust us. Here's our booking system, that kind of thing. If you go to your local Italian restaurant, you might find warm colors, maybe red, orange, maybe like a rich green that reminds you of the basil on your pizza. And likely you'll be a brand that kind of really makes you feel hungry and excited, makes you want to go there and taste fresh ingredients. So a totally different vibe. And I think it's a good idea to get a feeling for what other brands mean to you, because we all have different cultural associations. And it's important to remember that they're not always the same in different communities and different geographic regions. You know, our cultural context is really important when we're thinking about what branding means to us. For your own work, you probably, you know, want to bring something across, especially if you're someone who works with people in a transformative space, if you're offering services or you're teaching or you're offering products, physical products that have, you know, a strong sense of meaning for people, then you want to communicate the story behind your work in a way. And words can only go so far with that. So that is why branding is really important. So here are my 5 tips for you to create your own brand if that's what you want to do. So the first step would be to really grow your awareness for branding by looking at the world in a different way. I like to think of this as kind of putting your designer goggles on. And that is not just to look at other brands, though that is an important part of the journey, but you can also begin with your home. You can look at the colors you're using in your home to create different kinds of spaces and moods. So maybe you have like a bright, cheerful kitchen and a really calming bedroom. Maybe in your living room or around your desk, you want to have really inspiring colors and lots of art, or maybe you want it to be really clean and calm. So have a look around you in your home, in your local landscape, in your wardrobe, around your friends, to see how colors and shapes and patterns and all those things are being utilized to communicate something and to create an experience or a feeling of something. And that will give you really good information about your own preferences and what the people that you would like to work with might be into as well. The second step is to play on Pinterest and make some mood boards. So obviously it doesn't have to be Pinterest necessarily. You can also do it in a scrapbook. You could do it on Tumblr. You can do it in any space where you feel like you can collage and bring different elements together in a really playful way. I like Pinterest because it's free and there's just so much visual material on there already that I can easily research. So for example, if I want to start a kind of woodland themed mood board, you know, there'll be so much there to work with. Existing color palettes, images of woods, fonts that might be a great fit. So just so much. And also you can keep a board private if you like. So if this is something that you feel a little bit shy about and you just want to have privacy for now to explore branding and, you know, what kind of things you might want to work with, then that's totally an option. You don't have to share that with anyone. But it's playful and it's a really nice way in, I think, to bring different ideas together. So I would recommend that you try maybe to start with 2 or 3 different boards in Pinterest to begin with, so that you're not cramming all your different ideas into just one board, but try to come up with different boards and really, you know, try to create coherence between them. So let's say you've been looking at your local beach and you felt really inspired by that. So make a beach themed Pinterest board, bring together different blues and sandy colors, maybe images of the sea, maybe the sky, maybe seashells, pebbles, fonts that you feel are a good fit. And then if you also loved the way that your bedroom made you feel, make a separate board just for that and bring those different colors together. And then when you had a little bit of practice of kind of this playful way of, you know, bringing things together, then you can create a separate board again for your brand and your work. And you think about the visual associations that you have with your work. So when you're really sitting down, you're becoming calm, maybe on a Friday afternoon after a work week that made you feel good about what you do. You sit down, you know, what comes to mind? What kind of symbolism, colors, what kind of spaciousness do you want? What is coming up for you? And then you can bring that to your mood board. And obviously, you know, in technical terms and as a first step, when we're thinking about branding, we're thinking about colors and fonts and images, things like logos and graphics. But I think there are also more subtle things such as spaciousness or usability that are really an important part of a visual language. So on my websites, you will see that I use quite a bit of line height, for example. The default line height is often kind of 1.7, and I like it to be between 1.9 or 2.1. And to me, that makes a website kind of more readable. It feels calmer, it's more spacious, and it does contribute to kind of the overall impression that someone gets when they come to my website. So feel free to have a look at my own website or into those in my portfolio, and just have a think also about, beyond the most obvious elements of branding, you know, what else might be really important to you. The third step is to research brands that you really love and think about why you love them. So you build a foundation now in your own relationship to branding and colors and all those things. And I think then it's a good time to go out and see what other people are doing. And I recommend that to be the third step because I want you to feel more confident about your own ability to build your brand before you start comparing yourself. I think some degree of comparison is probably normal in business. You know, we do see each other and it's cool to be inspired sometimes. Doesn't mean that we need to copy each other, but you know, we're not existing in a vacuum, obviously. So at this stage, once you've done your own research, you've done your own Pinterest mood boarding, have a look at, let's say, the top five websites that really speak to you and put your designer eyes on to see what you love and don't love about them. So even if you're not reading the words on the website, you're probably getting a kind of feeling for what the work is about. And that might tell you more about your own associations with certain colors or compositions or graphics. You can even challenge yourself to open these websites and really not try to read what is written at the top of them, but just take it in terms of all the other elements that speak to you. And take note of that. So again, we're not wanting to copy, but we want to get a sense for what works for us and what doesn't, and what we might want to make a part of our own branding as well. And then the fourth step is to draft your own mood boards in a place like Canva. So canva.com is a free browser-based design tool. There is a paid plan, but the free plan is usually good enough for people. It's really fun to play with that. You'll find a lot of how-to guidance on how to work with Canva on YouTube if you want. I also offer a course on branding with Canva that you can check out. I'll link to that in the show notes as well. But Canva gives you a chance to create your brand guide, basically. And so if I were to do that in a client project, it's usually like a 1 or 2 page document that really clearly defines the colors with the hex codes, the kinds of images, the typography, the spacing, the text size, what kind of graphics are used, and so forth. So it's a really solid foundation for anything visual we're creating in a business. As a first step, that would usually be the website, but it could also be things like the newsletter layout, social media graphics, maybe business cards that you're creating. And the beauty of having such a clear brand guide is that you're never starting from scratch. So let's say, you know, you're finally sitting down to work on your content strategy. You want to batch some graphics that you are needing for Instagram. You want to make 20 at once using cool templates on Canva. But every time you do that, let's say once a month or once a season, you're kind of starting over thinking about colors and, you know, what am I even doing here? So when you have a solid brand guide, then you're not starting from scratch. You're really taking a bunch of work off your plate. And you're also making sure that your feed and everything else that you're creating for your business is consistent over time. And that doesn't mean that you can't ever change your mind. My branding certainly has changed a little bit. I probably have had a palette of like greens and woodland colors and then a touch of dusty rose for about 5 or 6 years. But I think once or twice I've tweaked one or two of the shades slightly. So these are still my very, very favorite colors. I live with them. I wear them. I love seeing them in a landscape. I feel very loyal to them. But they've still changed slightly over time. And I really like giving myself that freedom. So anyway, it's not about, you know, cementing things in stone necessarily or committing to these colors forever. But for now, it can be really nice to have that stability and consistency with everything, you know, with all your different internet presences or local presences. I think having consistent professional branding creates a sense of being recognized. You know, if someone has seen you on Instagram and then they get your business card from a friend, they'll be like, oh yeah, I remember that person. And it can be really subtle because it might not even be the name that they remember, but just how they felt about your brand and what you do. And that might be reminding, you know, the colors on your business card might be reminding them of that, for example. And it just, I feel, yeah, it just feels more trustworthy, more professional to me. Even though someone can absolutely do amazing work and be super wonderful at what they do without a brand, it usually gives people more confidence to have one, you know, that really feels right for them, because they feel clearer about communicating what it is that they do. And that is important, I think. All right, so you've drafted your own mood board based on the different ideas you've come up with in Pinterest. I would say maybe create 2 or 3 drafts and then let them rest a little bit, sleep on it. When we're working on this in a kind of like sprint, then it can feel like, oh my gosh, I can't see the detail anymore. You know, you're so invested in your ideas and you've looked at this for a long time. Step away for a little bit, let it rest. If you want to have some feedback, absolutely share it with friends and family. But remember that it will be, you know, more efficient to, or more effective for what you're trying to do if you're sharing your ideas and asking for feedback from people who might be potential clients. So I, in the beginning, sometimes would make the mistake of like sharing a new web design with a family member who has nothing to do with web design, nothing to do with the kind of clients I'd work with. And so actually, you know, while super well-meaning, their comments actually aren't really that helpful for what I'm trying to do. So have a think about, you know, who you love and trust, who might also potentially be a client that you could ask for feedback. And then you choose one and make a commitment. And that's really exciting because you created this yourself. It's there for any and all of your future reference, and you can take the next steps in your business. And then the first step is to implement your new brand across all your different channels, basically everywhere you're present. And with that, I would say sit down and really make a list, probably starting with your website, thinking about all your social media channels, the signature in your newsletter, the signature in your emails, business cards you might have. So really every single presence that you have, write it down in a list for future reference, and then work through it and make sure that you implement the brand that you created for yourself across all these different channels. And that can be really fun. I know it sounds like a lot of work, but actually it can be super creative and fun if you approach it with a little bit of organization and excitement about what you're doing. So I hope this has been helpful. This is how I love to work on a brand. Of course, there's a lot more that can go into it, more than I can share in like a 17-minute episode, but it's a starting point, and I hope it's given you a better idea of kind of how brands come together and why they matter and how you might look into the world and what other people are doing in a new way. If you want some support, please join the Summer Vibes co-working series. This is the kind of stuff that you can get feedback on in the space if you want. And we'd really love to have you. Thank you so much for listening.